When Brian Dovey attended Harvard Business School in the late 1960s, entrepreneurship was considered a risky, even disreputable career path. The school offered just one course on small business management, and professors focused on training future Fortune 500 executives. Fast forward to today, and entrepreneurship has become the white-hot center of capitalism, with startup founders celebrated like rock stars. But this dramatic shift has created dangerous myths about what it takes to succeed. The idea is the easy part emerged from Dovey's decades of experience as an entrepreneur, corporate president, and venture capitalist who has funded over 250 startups. The book has earned praise from industry luminaries like Kleiner Perkins co-founder Brooke Byers, who appreciates its straight-talking, often amusing style that avoids typical entrepreneurial clichés. Former Senator Bill Bradley highlights Dovey's unique understanding that venture capital is a very human enterprise, while Shazam founder Chris Barton calls it an honest, realistic approach to entrepreneurial challenges. What makes this book different from countless other startup guides? Dovey focuses on the unglamorous reality of execution, turning an idea into a sustainable, profitable business rather than perpetuating the dangerous myth that a brilliant idea automatically leads to success. Drawing from lesser-known examples rather than rehashing familiar startup legends, he offers practical wisdom for navigating the entrepreneurial journey. The perception of entrepreneurship has undergone a complete transformation. Once viewed with skepticism, founders are now celebrated in popular culture through shows like Shark Tank and countless founder memoirs. This has created a mystique around startups that bears little resemblance to reality. Perhaps the most damaging myth is that success requires a revolutionary innovation. Dovey's experience proves the opposite. A brilliant idea can lead to an unsustainable business, while a commonplace concept can drive a fantastic company. Most successful startups don't invent something entirely new, but rather integrate existing ideas in novel ways, what Dovey calls some assembly required. Consider Facebook, which wasn't the first social platform, but required real identities. Instagram simply added filters to photo sharing. Dollar Shave Club built a billion-dollar business without any technological breakthroughs. Even Zappos succeeded despite a seemingly terrible business model of free shipping and returns. Sometimes breakthrough ideas can even have negative impacts, as with Dovey's experience trying to commercialize humanized mice technology that never found a viable application despite cutting-edge science. The reality is that execution, turning an idea into a sustainable, profitable company, is where the real challenge lies. Shows like Shark Tank create the illusion that securing funding is the finish line, when it's merely the starting point of a much longer and more difficult journey. The mystique suggests overnight success, but the reality involves years of persistence through countless challenges and pivots. When we strip away the mythology, entrepreneurship is about spotting opportunities and assembling resources to capitalize on them. As Harvard professor Howard Stevenson defines it, entrepreneurship is the pursuit of opportunity beyond resources controlled. The satisfaction comes not from having a brilliant idea, but from navigating countless on-the-fly decisions, pivoting when necessary, and executing an evolving strategy in the face of uncertainty. The stereotypical image of a successful entrepreneur is well established. A young, white, male Stanford graduate with a technical background and an aggressive personality who lives in Silicon Valley. But Dovey's decades of experience reveal a much more diverse reality. Successful founders come from varied educational backgrounds. In fact, Forbes data shows many of America's 400 richest people lack advanced degrees, with 63 having only high school diplomas. Mary Fisher, an artist without college education, became an exceptional biotech entrepreneur leading Skin Medica and Color Science. Her success came from integrating diverse information, generating innovative strategies, and inspiring outstanding teams, proving liberal arts majors often thrive in tech because they see the bigger picture beyond technical details. Ethnic diversity among entrepreneurs is improving, albeit slowly. Black women represented 42% of new women-owned businesses in 2019, and organizations like Goldman Sachs are investing billions to support minority entrepreneurs. Stanley Lewis, a Black MD who founded successful biotech companies, experienced both advantages and disadvantages related to his race. At one conference, he was seated at the VIP table, but later struggled to network while his white partner collected 20 business cards to his two. Stanley believes diversity has improved, but true inclusion still lags, noting that excluding diverse perspectives hurts everyone, not just marginalized groups. Women are making significant strides in entrepreneurship. There are 114% more women entrepreneurs than 20 years ago, with women now owning 40% of U.S. businesses. The data confirms they aren't just participating, but thriving. Women-led tech companies average 35% higher ROI, and women-founded companies in first-round capital's portfolio outperformed male-founded ones by 63%. Bonnie Anderson exemplifies this success as the award-winning co-founder of Veracite, whose diagnostic company dramatically improved thyroid cancer testing accuracy through her passion, listening skills, and strategic focus. Contrary to popular belief, successful founders in their 20s are the exception, not the rule. The average age of successful tech company founders is 39, with the highest rates of entrepreneurial activity occurring among the 45 to 64 age groups. Research shows entrepreneurial performance rises sharply with age, peaking in the late 50s. John Spitznagel demonstrates this trend, becoming a first-time CEO in his 60s after forced retirement from Johnson & Johnson and delivering a 10x return on investment. Most successful entrepreneurs are driven primarily by mission and passion rather than money. Harith Rajagopalan, MD, PhD, and former cardiologist, left an impressive research career to found Fractor Health, developing treatments that promise to cure type 2 diabetes rather than just manage symptoms. His leadership combines technical expertise with exceptional listening skills and an open mind, qualities that make him effective despite defying the stereotypical entrepreneur image. Finding a high-potential startup opportunity comes down to two essential questions: identifying a genuine unmet need customers will gladly pay for, and determining why you're uniquely positioned to fill it. Dovey evaluates startup proposals using five criteria that address these questions. First is the market, addressing a true unmet need, not just a nice-to-have improvement. Market research requires both science and intuition. Vivus, which developed the first FDA-approved erectile dysfunction drug, dramatically underestimated demand when physicians reported few patients complaining about impotence. What they thought would be a niche medication became the fastest-selling prescription drug ever in its first month. Conversely, Novalar developed a dental drug to eliminate post-procedure numbness from lidocaine. But despite enthusiastic survey responses, dentists resisted selling it as an add-on service, considering it beneath their professional dignity. Without dentist enthusiasm, the startup failed, a perfect example of market research creating the illusion of an unmet need where none truly existed. The second criterion is competition, understanding who will be threatened by your idea and how they'll respond. Large companies hold significant advantages over startups through existing infrastructure, customer relationships, and capital access. The myth that startups can safely target just 1% of IBM's market share rarely works because large companies fight for every scrap of market share. Microsurge learned this lesson painfully when they created partially reusable medical instruments with only small disposable components. They underestimated how fiercely big medical device manufacturers would fight this threat to their business model. Johnson & Johnson leveraged bundling, offering hospitals deep discounts on packages of instruments, sutures, and other supplies, making it impossible for Microsurge to penetrate the market. Technology is the third criterion, having the technical capacity to execute at scale. When solving multiple technical challenges simultaneously, success probability multiplies rather than averages. With 5 challenges each having 90% success probability, overall success drops to just 59%. TransCell's artificial pancreas concept demonstrated this painfully. The device would place pig pancreas cells in a special bag inside diabetic patients to regulate blood sugar. It required solving 5 simultaneous challenges that proved impossible to combine within budget constraints, like a Rubik's Cube where solving one problem created others. Fourth is proprietary position, maintaining an unfair advantage that prevents copying. Patents provide a 17-year exclusive, but they're only valuable if enforceable through civil lawsuits, which can be prohibitively expensive for startups. Cardiac Science developed an advanced defibrillator with automatic analysis capabilities that secured patent protection. When a large competitor brazenly copied the technology, Cardiac Science sued but quickly realized they were outmatched. The competitor deliberately made the lawsuit prohibitively expensive, with endless depositions and motions estimated at $15 million annually in legal fees over several years. Despite having valid IP, they had to abandon the product entirely. The final criterion is financial requirements, generating enough cash before running out of money or investor patience. The less money needed to demonstrate clear progress, the more appealing your startup becomes to early-stage investors. Ventures requiring massive upfront investment before any validation are risky because there are no intermediate milestones. They either work or don't. Smart founders choose startups with early milestones that prove viability with minimal investment. Shows like Shark Tank create the illusion that financing depends on a brief pitch followed by immediate offers and quick negotiations. In reality, VCs make decisions based on complex factors, both quantifiable metrics and intangible impressions of management quality, team chemistry, and customer understanding. Good VCs use both analytical thinking and gut instinct, treating investing as both science and art. Contrary to media portrayals suggesting early outside funding is best, the smarter strategy is seeking investment as late as possible. Founders should first use personal savings, loans from friends/family, credit cards, or home equity. Venture funding is expensive in terms of ownership surrender. VCs equate startup value with failure risk. The further along you are before raising money, the less risky you appear and the better your valuation. Personal investment demonstrates commitment. $300,000 from 3 co-founders signals stronger conviction than seeking outside money immediately. When ready for outside investment, founders must follow distinct steps, beginning with targeted research. Counterintuitively, pitching fewer VCs often works better than mass outreach. Business plans labeled copy number 976, highly confidential, signal desperation and get deleted immediately. Founders should research VCs with experience in their space or natural affinity for their product. Peloton demonstrates this principle. California VCs rejected them because their outdoor-focused culture missed the indoor cycling appeal, while New York VCs immediately understood the concept's value. For your pitch meeting, create a presentation that takes only 30 minutes, leaving time for questions. Structure your deck around the 5 major startup criteria: market, competition, technology, proprietary position, and financial requirements. VCs don't expect George Clooney's charm or Steve Jobs' presentation skills, but they do demand deep knowledge about your startup, market, and challenges. Can you simplify complex technology into a compelling story with clear beginning, middle, and end? Avoid discussing valuation during the pitch. It's like proposing marriage on a first date. Don't believe the myth that VCs only care about billion-dollar markets. Exaggerating your potential will backfire during due diligence. VCs spend significant money on specialized consultants, lawyers, and researchers to verify every claim before investing. They'll catch market overestimations and patent conflicts. If discrepancies emerge, VCs may ask for explanations rather than immediately rejecting you. This becomes a test of character. Beyond fact-checking, VCs assess intangibles like character, commitment, and management competence. They want to leave no stone unturned about who you really are. They'll speak with former direct reports rather than just bosses, as they provide more accurate pictures of leadership skills. Evidence of deep commitment can sometimes overcome concerns about experience, but treating a startup as a side hustle is a major red flag. Traditional hiring processes put too much emphasis on credentials and experience while neglecting character and intangibles. Dovey learned this through hiring people perfect on paper but deeply flawed in practice. The challenge is measuring these intangibles, as job candidates won't admit to selfishness, rigidity, credit hogging, bureaucratic tendencies, or analysis paralysis during interviews. To avoid hiring mistakes, talk to candidates' former direct reports rather than just bosses, as subordinates will give a more honest picture of the person's real character. Ask them if the candidate was a team player, flexible, decisive, open to change, and if they'd work with them again. Skills can be learned, but character is fundamental. Experience matters tremendously, especially startup experience, though it doesn't have to equal past success. Someone who's weathered a failed company brings valuable perspective that balances optimism. While experience doesn't guarantee future success, startup experience is far more valuable than big company experience because startups require rapid pivoting. Domain refused to fund 3 first-time entrepreneurs with a great drug repurposing idea until they brought in experienced CEO John Spitznagel, whose contributions proved crucial to their success. Entrepreneurs often undervalue boards, filling them with impressive-sounding window dressing directors who lack relevant experience and meaningful ownership stakes. These directors rarely challenge CEOs or dig into details. Theranos exemplifies this danger. Its board included famous names like Henry Kissinger and Jim Mattis, but no VCs or blood testing experts who might have questioned Elizabeth Holmes' fraudulent claims. Effective directors require significant time commitment, quarterly or monthly meetings plus preparation. Founders should seek experts with complementary skills, incentivize them with equity, and actually listen to their advice. While big companies keep employees in departmental silos with clear boundaries of responsibility, startups thrive when everyone feels ownership over the entire enterprise. Equity grants beyond just founders create this mindset, transforming employees into stakeholders who never say, "It's not my job." Unlike salaried employees who might resist downsizing their department, equity holders understand resource reallocation that benefits the company's overall value. Though startups can't match corporate salaries, stock options level the playing field and create a culture of teamwork. Rather than obsessing over perks or motivational tactics, the key to maintaining a strong culture is eliminating what demotivates naturally enthusiastic startup employees. The major demotivators include mission drift, when daily reality no longer reflects your inspiring mission, relatively poor compensation, especially when limited equity, bureaucratic creep, accumulated policies that choke flexibility, and bad managers. Nothing drives talent away faster. By systematically identifying and removing these frustrations, leaders can preserve the enthusiasm employees bring when first joining. This represents the core of Dovey's message. Execution, not ideas or funding, creates most of a startup's value. After investing in over 250 startups, Domain found that success depends primarily on a team's ability to handle execution challenges, not the original business plan. No Domain-funded startup has grown according to its original plans. All required a contradictory blend of focus and flexibility to overcome unexpected challenges. Founders struggle with execution partly because business education focuses on opportunity identification and financing rather than implementation details. The challenge becomes distinguishing which tasks deserve your attention versus what should be delegated or outsourced. Functions like legal work, HR, and accounting should be outsourced initially, as they create clutter that distracts from value-driving activities. The danger lies in feeling productive by completing low-value tasks while neglecting strategic goals and performance milestones. perfectionism severely hampers execution. Dovey emphasizes that the perfect is the enemy of the good, and anything worth doing is worth doing poorly, meaning it's better to demonstrate basic viability before refining. He illustrates this with Align's early market testing, where imperfect radio advertising in Austin proved consumer demand for Invisalign despite being a suboptimal medium. For support functions, good enough is usually good enough. Resisting perfectionism helps control costs and prevents wasting resources on non-essential refinements. Many successful startups pivoted completely after initial failures. Dura, initially focused on a breakthrough allergy treatment, pivoted when unusual weather patterns undermined their clinical trial. They leveraged their experience licensing other companies' allergy drugs to become successful product licensors and marketers instead, eventually achieving a successful IPO and acquisition. Bayas Medical, after failing to develop Relaxin for childbirth and orthodontia, pivoted to treating heart failure patients, requiring an entirely new management team. This high-risk move paid off when the renamed Corthera was sold to Novartis. Strategic alliances can fill operational gaps but pose significant risks. When forming alliances, startups must consider how these partnerships might affect future acquisitions or IPOs. For example, drug companies' licensing rights in Europe or Asia is expected, but licensing away U.S. rights could prevent acquisition offers. When negotiating alliances, there are four possible outcomes: no deal, bad deal, good deal, or great deal, each with different impacts on execution. When running survival technology, Dovey pitched a heart attack treatment system to Marion Labs CEO Ewing Kaufman, seeking $4 million up front plus 50-50 profit sharing. Despite buying Royals tickets as a goodwill gesture, negotiations stalled when Kaufman insisted they could have either the upfront fee or profit sharing, but not both. Dovey walked away rather than accept unfavorable terms, later securing both elements with Wyeth. This experience taught him that sometimes walking away is the best outcome, preventing a potentially damaging partnership. The end of your startup journey can arrive within months or after decades, with tears or champagne. Many first-time entrepreneurs harbor unrealistic fantasies about exits, whether staying CEO of a Fortune 500 company for decades, making a quick billion-dollar sale, or passing the business to their children. The reality is usually quite different. It's crucial to consider your end game from the start, as your exit expectations will shape critical decisions throughout your journey. When founders care more about being CEO than building value, VCs become hesitant to invest. VCs receive capital from limited partners for defined periods, usually 10 years, and have a fiduciary duty to exit profitably within that time frame. They need clean exits, typically through IPOs or acquisitions within 7 years. If you insist on remaining private forever or maintaining your CEO position post-acquisition, VC funding isn't for you. The allure of a merger of equals often appeals to founders who prefer saying, "We merged with Company X," rather than, "We were bought by Company X." But these 50-50 mergers rarely work out. Conflicts in vision and strategy typically force one side to take charge, and the promised synergy, 1 plus 1 greater than 2, usually results in less value, 1 plus 1 less than 2. This is especially true when struggling companies merge out of desperation. The IPO carries the most mythology, but rarely matches the superstar image portrayed in media. For most companies, going public brings harsh realities. Stock prices may stagnate or drop, news coverage might be skeptical, and analysts might discourage investors. Post-IPO life puts you under constant scrutiny, with analysts and reporters hounding you after every earnings announcement. Your stock price can fluctuate wildly regardless of your performance, alarming employees compensated with now underwater options. You'll lose fundamental control as new shareholders gain voting rights to potentially fire you, and your board evolves with independent directors less likely to cut you slack. Domain's research shows that having two or three CEOs within the first decade correlates with the best odds of startup success. The typical pattern involves a specialized founder being succeeded by a professional executive during the growth phase. At Align, Dovey warned founding CEO Zia Chishti and COO Kelsey Wirth from the start that when the company grew beyond their experience level, the board would have a fiduciary duty to hire more qualified leadership. Though Chishti resisted, valuing his CEO title over his wealth potential, he eventually departed. New CEO Tom Prescott turned the company around, driving phenomenal growth before passing leadership to Joe Hogan in 2015. Today, Align is worth more than $25 billion. While we celebrate stories of resilient founders who persevere through adversity, there's no shame in cutting your losses on a failing startup. Setting clear benchmarks helps provide objective metrics to determine when to pull the plug. At Domain, they funded Axial, an anti-Alzheimer's startup, with tight benchmarks and a yup-nope preliminary study agreement. When the study failed to meet metrics, they immediately shut it down, minimizing losses. In venture capital, lemons ripen early. Troubled startups typically show warning signs within the first year, while those making consistent progress by year 3 or 4 will likely survive to acquisition or IPO. After decades in the startup world, Dovey has learned to avoid both trendy advice and timeless but generic career guidance that makes people miserable. While experienced mentors can save you heartache, seek multiple perspectives and remember that most people give advice based on their own experiences. Even well-meaning advisors, including parents, steer you toward paths that worked for them but might not suit you. When seeking venture capital wisdom, Dovey discovered how personal experience shapes perspective. Arthur Rock emphasized betting on people. Gene Kleiner focused on execution problem solving. Jim Swartz prioritized industry timing. And David Leathers concentrated on financial fundamentals. Like blind men describing different parts of an elephant, each approach worked brilliantly for them based on their unique strengths. This taught him to leverage his own strengths rather than shore up weaknesses. Throughout his teaching and advising career, Dovey developed pithy phrases to convey key entrepreneurial principles. He emphasizes that the biggest force is the status quo. Those threatened by new ideas will fight them, while potential beneficiaries remain skeptical. He advocates for minimum viable products by asking, "How bad can it be and still be good?" True entrepreneurs aren't risk-takers, but opportunity chasers who only pursue deals with favorable odds. On Starting Companies, Play to Win, Not to Not Lose recognizes that defensive strategies often fail. Excellence should be targeted. You need an A in only a few things, rather than wasting resources on perfecting everything. While shots on goal take talent and hard work, success involves luck, so performance should be evaluated on approach rather than just outcomes. On venture capital, Dovey would rather regret deals I didn't do than those that failed, since missed opportunities can cost 10, 100x returns. He warns against unrealistic projections and emphasizes that it's usually the jockey, not the horse, driving success. The entrepreneurial journey is filled with contradictions and uncertainties. There's no foolproof formula for success, as evidenced by contradictory proverbs like "look before you leap" versus "he who hesitates is lost." The key is finding your own path based on your unique strengths and passions, rather than trying to follow someone else's blueprint. If you've decided the startup world is right for you, remember Dovey's grandmother's advice about criticism. Don't climb to the top of the belfry if you can't stand the sound of crows in your ears.